Welcome back to the Bama Beat. Alabama basketball season is over, but we're not done talking about it. That's why we brought in Cecil Hurt again. Cecil, how are you?
Great. How are you?
Taryn Walk also joining us. Taryn?
I'm just here to listen in, basically.
Yeah. Since the last time we talked to you about Alabama's basketball season, well, a lot has happened. Alabama made it into the NIT as a one seed after getting bounced out of the SEC tournament. Alabama was then bounced out of the NIT by Norfolk State in a first-round game on Wednesday night in Tuscaloosa. Before the NIT, it seemed to be trending towards the direction of Avery Johnson getting one more season. Obviously, I think the showing in the NIT was kind of one thing, and some of the response from some of the fan base afterwards was kind of another one. How critical was that NIT loss, and really the way that the team lost, in determining what the outcome would be for Avery Johnson, Cecil?
Well, obviously, if you go back and look Monday or Tuesday at Avery's comments, he was trying to present the NIT as a start on next year and a new direction and so forth. Which sounds like somebody who thinks that they're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
They did not perform well, which can happen. They did not win, which can happen. Credit to Norfolk State. They shot the ball well, and good for them. You know, it is rare for a team in the Mideastern Athletic Conference, even a good team, to beat a team from the SEC. And they were a 17-point underdog. But those, you don't make any coaching decisions based on one game. If your team had played well all year and was flat one game, mm-hmm. that can happen. You know, Central Florida beats Duke if a tip-in goes in yesterday.
Right.
Doesn't alter how hard they both played, what a great game it was, the energy level. All those things were constant. Alabama, for the most part this season, those things were not constant, and they certainly weren't present against Norfolk State. So I think that that caused some concern. I think that there was further conversation after that. Again, I don't think it was a you lost to Norfolk State, so you're fired situation.
Right.
I think it was more the athletic director saying, Greg Byrne, saying my vision for the program is this, this, and this, and them coming to a mutual agreement that wasn't the direction that they were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Whether Avery was going to have to do some staff changes or something that he didn't want to make, or whatever the situation would be. I think they mutually agreed that it wasn't going to work out. Well, that's not a firing, but it is an agreement to part ways, which is why you had buyout negotiations instead of just writing a check.
Right. Now, you use the phrase mutual agreement there a couple of times, mm-hmm. and it's probably important to distinguish. A lot of times when there are coaching changes, you hear about mutual decisions or mutual agreements,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, when your buddy gets divorced from his husband or her wife, or I guess got that mixed up. Sorry.
Well, it's fine. It's 2019. You can do it that way, too.
Anyway, a mutual parting can sometimes be the quote-unquote mutual parting.
Right.
In your mind, or based on your knowledge, was this one where both parties were okay with how it ended up, or was there one party that wanted this relationship to continue and kind of was able to push the other one into just announcing that it was mutual?
Well, again, there are contractual ramifications to the term firing.
Right.
And I don't think that Alabama wanted that term to be used for those reasons. And it's probably in Avery's best interests as well. When he talks to somebody else about future employment, to say, you know, we just didn't agree.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that they mutually agreed to mutually agree is probably the best thing.
Yeah. Do you have any sense of who might have initiated this conversation, or was this just come up in the standard end of the year review, perhaps?
No, I think they had kind of done their standard end of the year review and then the NIT raised additional questions that Greg Byrne wanted answered.
Yeah. The number that we had reported for Avery Johnson's buyout if he were fired, which again is not the case when you have a mutual agreement and negotiations, was that he would be owed $8 million if he was let go before the middle of April, at which point it went down to $6 million. Alabama has announced that it has reached an agreement with Avery Johnson, has not announced a number. Does our reporting have a number for this agreement at this point?
No, it would be, you know, it's obviously less than eight. You wouldn't negotiate less than eight. Those things, and it'll eventually be public record.
Right.
Now, there, whether there's an offset clause, whether he has to actively seek employment that would offset some of the buyout, whether it was just a lump sum payment, that affects what the actual dollar figure would be. But I would say it was, you know, it was substantial, but it wasn't $8 million.
I actually have a question. When it comes to this, is it better to, like, mutually agree to go separate ways and negotiate the buyout? Or is it better to just be like, all right, go ahead and fire me and I'll get X amount regardless?
Well, you're referring to better for the coach?
Yeah. Because, like, I mean, wouldn't you rather be guaranteed $6 million rather than negotiate? What if he, like, ends up with less than that? I mean, we don't know yet, but,
yeah, but you can't.
It's a big what if.
You can't. I mean, you. There's a line there, Taryn, where you can, in essence, fire yourself. But you can't go in there and say, if they don't say you're fired, you can't go in there and say, well, I'm just not going to do the job, because then you get zero buyout because you've breached contract.
Right.
So that's why you have a gray area in between.
Yeah.
And that's where this mutual comes in.
That's where the attorneys and agents come in.
Yeah.
And negotiate all that out.
Yeah.
You know, Avery certainly got a seven-figure buyout. There's no question about that.
Yeah, yeah. If you want to get just maximize the buyout number that they give you, then you just say, no, I'm not leaving, and you have to pay me my $8 million, which is not what happened in this case.
Right. Right. You may both know what you want the outcome to be, but the coach can't risk being fired for cause.
Right.
Which negates the buyout.
Now, you can get down into the nitty-gritty of it, and there can be all sorts of details involved in this where, just to use a round number, and because, you know, the buyout was eight and then it was dropping to six, so let's just say, to call it an even number, it's $7 million. Well, maybe as the coach you say, you know, I'll take $7 million, but not a dime less than that, whether I get another job or not. Or you could say something along the lines of, you know, or you just have to pay me the $8 million and hope that I get another job to offset some of that, like the languages and the contract.
Right. And it was going to six on April the 15th
right.
anyway. So,
yeah.
So, you know, it, had that been the negotiation, Greg could have said, I do not think this is how it went down, but Greg could have said, fine, I'll see you April 16th and then we'll start talking based on that number.
Yeah. We'll negotiate it for a couple more weeks and then,
No, you know, I'm going to go to Hawaii. I'll talk to you when I get back.
Yeah.
You know?
The issue at that point is that then you haven't let go of your basketball coach. It's pretty hard to hire a new coach 2 weeks later.
Then you're breaching the contract.
Yeah.
And you've got some legal.
So if you want to get started on your own coaching search, you need to get it done before that happens.
That's precisely why they did it on the timetable that they did.
That seems like a good segue for us to stop looking backwards and start looking forward to some other candidates for Alabama. We're recording this on Monday morning. Alabama is going to be having a press conference here in about the next hour or so. Greg Byrne's going to answer some questions about the coaching search. Presumably, a couple of names will be tossed around. Presumably, Greg Byrne will not bite on any of them. Cecil, what kind of questions do you have for Greg Byrne, if any, at this point?
Well, we'll see how the press conference goes. Obviously, there's some parameters that you'd like to set, whether he has a timetable. Really, you're depending on your candidate. Your timetable is the candidate's timetable.
Mm-hmm.
With Nick Saban, the NFL season had to end.
Right.
You know, you couldn't – they weren't going to yank him out of Miami before the NFL season ended. Now, you know, Nick's hiring was an example of hiring at the very top end. Mm-hmm. You know, and really, and I think Alabama's going to go after a great coach, but in Nick's situation, it's not a question of you walking in there as the employer and saying, well, we're going to want you to do this, this, and this. He's in a position, was in a position, and would be in a position to say, no, you're going to do this, this, and this, and then maybe I'll come.
Right.
So that's a little bit different kind of negotiation when you were talking. And some people say, well, why don't you just do that in basketball? Well, A, it's expensive. B, you have to – some coaches aren't going to consider your institution to be their terminal destination anyway. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah. We can start talking about some names, even if Greg Byrne isn't going to start talking about some names. Let's start with some of the more out there names. These are not the names that we think are perhaps most likely or the best fit for Alabama. But if we're going to cross a couple names off the list, then why not we just go ahead and start with Rick Pitino, the deposed Louisville coach who is currently coaching a team out there in Greece at the moment. There's some buzz that he has some support among some boosters. He's won national championships at two different schools and taken a third to the Final Four, I believe. Depends on how you want to count, whether you consider whether NCAA banners being revoked and championships being vacated in that count. Rick Pitino going to be a candidate? Wouldn't seem to be along the lines of what Greg Byrne normally does in his coaching searches, though.
No. I think, without having spoken to him, that Rick Pitino would like to get back into college coaching. I think that I know for a fact that through C.M. Newton, with whom he was very close, that Rick is close to some Alabama people,
mm-hmm.
was involved in the hiring of Anthony Grant, who was a Billy Donovan guy, Billy Donovan being of the Rick Pitino tree.
Yeah.
You know, it's not that Alabama would be an out-of-the-blue possibility. And it's certainly not that there is not a strong lobbying effort from some people for Rick Pitino to get the job. Now, there is absolutely no matter how adamant he is about his role, there is no way that Rick Pitino or anyone else on the planet can tell you how the NCAA I'm not quite sure that investigation is the proper term, but the ongoing NCAA concerns about the federal trials,
mm-hmm.
They are not resolved. And Rick Pitino can't resolve them. Rick Pitino can say he didn't do anything, but you have no idea whether ultimately the NCAA will agree that he didn't do anything.
Right.
So he would be someone who you could hire and have no problem. It could work itself out. Or you could hire him, and 6 months after you hire him, he gets a show cause where he can't coach for a year.
Right. Obviously, a couple of other items of baggage with Rick Pitino. You had the Katina Powell case at Louisville, which is what caused them to vacate their national championship.
Right.
He was not found to be liable for that in the NCAA investigation of it, but still Louisville got hit with penalties as a result of that. Earlier in his time at Louisville, there was the Karen Cypher scandal, which we do not need to get into on this podcast, but if you want to spend 15, 20 minutes taking a look around the internet at that, you're more than welcome to do that. Not an NCAA issue per se, but
personal issue.
Yes. And then ultimately, by the time that this investigation that Cecil's referencing came out, I think that it had just kind of been one strike too many for Rick at Louisville.
I don't want to say he's got a lot of baggage, but he probably wouldn't want to fly Southwest coming
back. That's
true. You know?
Yeah.
Because you got to pay $25 per.
Yeah. Speaking of travel arrangements and Rick Pitino, I remember, and I sent Cecil a tweet from a Louisville member of the media named Eric Crawford. Eric has been in Louisville for forever. His father wrote for the Louisville newspaper. Eric wrote for the Louisville newspaper and now works for a TV station in Louisville, where Rick Pitino in 2013 was talking about traveling on the day of road games. In other words, you're not getting to the place that you're going to play the night before and spending the night in the hotel. And Patino said, "We did it at Kentucky while I was there because you're traveling to some of the worst towns in America," referring to the Southeastern Conference schools. You could go listen to our podcast where we rank Starkville as the 14th best SEC town. But I wonder how a New Yorker like Rick Pitino would enjoy living in West Alabama.
As someone who lived in New York this summer, it's very different.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just not his cultural
background.
And
I would also
say that he didn't do it at Providence.
Yeah.
And probably, you know, depending on how you feel about Ithaca, New York, or Montpelier, Vermont, Burlington, Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they probably bounced around at Providence a little bit. It's all relative to where you are.
Yeah.
That's also somewhat relative to Kentucky's use of a private jet to get their guys around.
Yep. Which brings me to my next point. Just for this pure buddy cop comedy sake of it, it would be humorous to see Rick Pitino and Nick Saban vying for attention on the same college campus and vying for resources from the same athletic department budget. That would be an interesting scenario.
It would be interesting one time. Then it wouldn't be interesting anymore.
Yeah, one of them would win and one of them would lose, and we know how that would work out.
Yeah.
While we're talking about some of the pie-in-the-sky candidates, we can throw out Billy Donovan's name. We've already mentioned him on this podcast.
Yeah, I think that you make a courtesy. I think that they did make a courtesy call to people representing, made a courtesy call to people representing and got a nice –
thank you, but no thank you.
But no thank you.
Billy Donovan, current host of the Oklahoma City Thunder.
My team is in the NBA season, will be involved in the NBA playoffs, is in a tough conference, but has two of the best players in the league.
They're in the playoffs, yeah.
Yeah, and if I choose, you know, this would not be said, but it's an absolute fact, if I choose to come back to college someday, I will have my choice of any position I'd like to take.
Yeah.
So
could go, just about anywhere. Not that Alabama isn't a worthy job with a lot of resources, but probably would not be the best offer he could get.
But he certainly can say, I'm not interested right now, and he hadn't closed the door to ever coming back to college basketball.
Yeah. Buzz Williams done a nice job at Virginia Tech, 3 straight seasons in the NCAA tournament. However, a lot of people have already kind of connected him to the Texas A&M job. He's a Texas native.
Was an assistant there.
Right. I think he'd be a great hire. Don't know if this is just the timing that works out for him, considering some of the other opportunities that are available. Thad Matta has gone all the way to the national championship game where he lost to Billy Donovan while he was at Ohio State. Did a strong recruiting job there. But kind of fizzled out a little bit. He was fired from Ohio State, you know, essentially just for performance at the end of his tenure. He's on the older side as well, but have heard that he has some support from some people who matter at some degree in this process.
Well, I can't tell you whether this makes any difference or not. I can tell you that in Greg Byrne's previous position as the athletic director at Arizona's basketball coach was Sean Miller,
mm-hmm.
who played for Thad Matta at Xavier.
So right. They're close, yeah.
Yeah, there's a connection if you want there to be a connection. I think Thad Matta had his choice of coming back to college basketball last year and just didn't feel like the time was right. He's had a health issue with his back.
Jeff Goodman had reported that he was involved with Georgia, or Georgia at least was very interested in him.
Yeah, and I think Ole Miss, although I think Ole Miss was ultimately going to hire Kermit, I think they certainly took a look at him. And teams would, and teams will this year. I think Vanderbilt's probably leaning toward John Thompson III, but he would be a guy that Vanderbilt would take a look at. So a lot of it's going to depend on whether he says, I feel like doing it or I don't feel like doing it physically.
Yeah. Since you mentioned Sean Miller, we can talk about him briefly. There is some speculation about his future at Arizona as well, right?
Yes.
Would he be a candidate considering his ties with Greg Byrne?
I think the issues that would cause Sean Miller to not be the coach at Arizona would make it be issues that would make it very difficult to hire him at Alabama.
Okay. So now we can move on to perhaps the next level of candidates, the guys who don't necessarily have Final Fours or NBA credentials on their resume, things like that. Steve Prohm is the name that probably comes up most frequently. The Alabama alum, who's the Iowa State head coach, has done a good job in Ames, was asked about the job over the weekend at the NCAA tournament, did not say, I'm not interested in the job, just said he loves his job at Iowa State.
Right, with his athletic director standing
at
right
the press
there.
Conference.
At the press conference.
Yeah.
So, you know, his players crying, they just lost, and, you know, what is he going to say? But
he said everything but, no, I'm not going to Alabama.
Yeah, but he's also he certainly has interest in getting an extension at Iowa State. It's a fascinating dynamic with their fan base, who I'm sure was excited about winning the Big 12 tournament and making the NCAA, even though they didn't perform well in their game, NCAA tournament game. But, you know, it's just an odd situation that Fred Hoiberg, who is an alum and the much beloved coach before Steve Prohm, is now out there available. So if I think they'd be fine if Steve gets an extension. If he didn't, they'd say, okay, well, good. Let's go get Fred Hoiberg.
And speaking of Fred Hoiberg, he might be a candidate for Alabama. At least
could
some
be.
People have tossed his name.
Could be
out there,
but,
as well.
And would be a good choice. I don't know. Again, he's been connected with Nebraska, and Nebraska's certainly got resources.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you're hypothetically making your choice of football schools. How good Nebraska can be in the Big Ten, you know, you can get them certainly better probably than they've been, but. Whether you're going to be competing with Michigan State and Michigan and Indiana every year, I don't know about that at Nebraska.
Yeah.
And you can say the same thing about Alabama, I guess, about Kentucky. But
yeah. Let's move.
Might have more upside at Alabama than you do at Nebraska.
Yeah. Let's move into the Texas division here of potential coaches for Alabama. Mm-hmm. Chris Beard being one, Kelvin Sampson being the other. Chris Beard has Texas Tech alive into the Sweet 16. Kelvin Sampson at Houston, who's been an NBA coach, been an NBA assistant coach, was at Indiana before some NCAA issues forced him out there, has Houston in the Sweet 16 against Kentucky.
Yeah, Chris Beard's won a lot of Coach of the Year awards. I think
right.
He's very highly regarded. It would take a truckload of money to get him. He's got a huge buyout.
And he may have some other suitors as well.
And, sure.
He's very well regarded,
yeah,
I think.
Very well regarded. Don't know what'll come up. And they'd have to spend a truckload of money, too. So for right now, you know, his team's playing. I'm sure he's. Comfortable in Lubbock. I think people always make the assumption that people want to get out of Lubbock, but and most people do. But there may be some people
It's also easier said than done to get out of Lubbock.
Yeah, you can't always get out of Lubbock.
Yeah.
But you know, it would be the most Texas thing in the world to go take Texas Tech's coach, but. We'll see. You know, for a lot of people, it's just a question of how much money you want to spend if Shaka Smart's not the coach.
Right.
For a lot of people, it's just a question of how much money you want to spend on your basketball program.
Yeah.
Texas is back.
That's the only reason why Taryn wanted to sit in on this podcast.
I didn't even know that was coming up.
She was waiting 24 minutes before this happened.
I like listening to Cecil talk about all this.
Kellen Sampson is a very well-regarded coach who's been successful more or less everywhere he's been. He had a NCAA situation at Indiana that was not the kind of NCAA situation that makes you just aghast. You know, it's a phone call situation. And he's had some other things. He's a push-it-to-the-line kind of guy, I think. But you know, financially competing with Houston, who does have some big boosters, but is probably not the same as – Texas Tech, for a variety of reasons, and this is not a surprise to anybody, Power 5 teams have a lot more income, disposable, bigger budgets than non-Power 5 teams.
Yeah. there's kind of a next tier, perhaps, or a next group, if you don't want to put them in tiers and rank them top to bottom, mm-hmm. Of coaches from some of these mid-major schools. Kelvin Sampson at Houston would be considered a mid-major school, although they're a three seed this year. That's a little bit different. Their budget's a little bit bigger.
He has as much Power 5 experience as you'd want.
Yeah.
You know, he's got plenty.
But the next group, Nate Oates, Buffalo, Mike Young, Wofford, John Brannan at Northern Kentucky, Wes Miller at UNC Greensboro, a few other names on that list. Anyone there that kind of jumps out at you? John Brannan, I believe, is a former Alabama assistant.
John Brannan was an assistant under Anthony, coached Alabama in the NIT after Anthony was let go. And so I do have a direct opinion of John Brannan, which is that he's excellent. Now, whether he's – you know, he won't be at Northern Kentucky forever.
Right.
So, you know, whether this is the spot, whether he'd be interested in that, you get into what I have called mid-major roulette.
You know, you some of these guys are going to be great.
Some of them are going to be great.
Some of them are going to be here for 4 years.
Every single guy, almost without exception, that we've talked about didn't start, you know, walk right in at Power 5 and start being successful.
Yeah.
So, you know, whether it's John Calipari, whether it's Mike Krzyzewski, who did a year at Army, mm-hmm. You know, got to start somewhere.
Yeah.
And turn out to be great coaches sometimes. But it's roulette. You hope that they fit. You know, for instance, Nate Oates is probably the hottest name of all the mid-major coaches this year. But he's at Buffalo. How would he recruit in Alabama? How would he fit at Alabama? Who would he know to be his assistants at Alabama?
Yeah, one of his kind of signature moments at Buffalo was beating Arizona and Sean Miller in the tournament last year, an Arizona team that was kind of disinterested, had a lot going on at that point. And, you know, if you lose that game and you're looking at him instead as a guy who's made the NCAA tournament once or twice but only once gotten out of the first round, I think the conversation about him is – a little bit different.
And, you know, the SEC has – again, the SEC Coach of the Year, Kermit Davis, was at Middle Tennessee last year. But now Kermit's a different situation and certainly had a background in this league. You know, Will Wade came up through VCU mm-hmm. and was certainly successful at LSU this year, although we don't know how his saga is going to end. But the league's also been littered with Stan Heath and Mark Fox and name after name that was hot at a non-Power 5 conference and came in, and it was difficult for him.
Yeah. Basketball, obviously a little bit different than football because the levels are different. You know, in football, you only have 130 D1 programs, so it's perhaps a little bit more likely to see a coordinator from a major program or an assistant coach become a head coach. Whereas I think in basketball, where you have 300-something Division I programs, you just have more head coaches or guys with head coaching experience at that level to draw from. Is there a possibility for an assistant coach to keep an eye on in this search? Some name that hasn't come up yet?
I don't know. You know, there are a couple of names out there. I know that Mike Miller at Memphis, people have looked at him because – whether he can coach a lick or not, he can recruit.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one thing that people look at. And
played for Billy Donovan at Florida, had a long NBA career.
Yeah, yeah. So he'll eventually be a head coach somewhere. I just don't know that Alabama's not fairly determined to get somebody with some experience.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to let Cecil out of here so he can go to this press conference. Cecil, thank you for joining us.
Sure.
Taryn, is Texas back?
Texas is back.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. If you enjoyed this, we'd appreciate it if you could leave us a rating or a review on iTunes. I think last time I saw it, we were up to 72.
We're 72,
yeah. We're moving up in the world.
Let's hit 100.
Thanks to you. 100, yes. If we get to 100, I will not ask you for a rating or a review on 10 consecutive podcasts. How about that? Is that fair?
I think that's fair, but I don't really care. I listen to them in here so I don't have to listen to them again.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for listening, folks. Until next time, this is the Bama Beat. This podcast is brought to you by Holman Contracting Group in Tuscaloosa. Holman Contracting Group is your go-to company for roofing, remodeling, and new construction homes. You can make your dream home a reality. Give them a call at 205-523-7088. You can also contact them at holmancontractors.com. That's HolmanContractors.com or on Facebook. Phone number is 205-523-7088.